Welcome, everyone, to our all-church three-day fast. Every day, you're going to hear a short devotional, and coupled with that, there's going to be an action step, something practical that you can do to put this teaching into action. You know, our God loves to see his children united. In fact, in John chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave to me, so that they may be one as we are one." See, God desires that we would be one. And so for the next 3 days, we will be one together as a church, moving in solidarity closer to Jesus. There will be times in the next 3 days where you'll want to give up, where things will become difficult, and when you are weary. And I want you to remember that there are brothers and sisters in Jesus that are fasting alongside you, including myself, cheering you on. So don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season, you will reap a harvest. Take a moment right now to think about the harvest you'll reap at the end of these 3 days. Remember why you're doing this. You do not live on bread alone, but you live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. God is going to use these next 3 days to transform your inner life and to uproot unhealthy appetites for the things of the world. And then he's going to take that appetite and reassign that hunger to him. So before we go into a quick teaching today, take a moment to press pause and tell him how hungry you are for him. Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 through 13 says this: "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them." In that passage we read here, Jesus chooses his 12 disciples. Now, most of us, when we read the list of names that Jesus picked to be his followers, we scratch our heads a bit and have to ask ourselves, what the heck was Jesus thinking? However, when you flip forward just two books, you see very clearly that the dozen misfits that Jesus picked to be his all-star team in the end turned out to be pretty great picks. Peter, the hothead that can't seem to keep ridiculous things from flowing out of his mouth, ends up giving a moving sermon that converts 3,000 people and jumpstarts the church. Matthew, the tax collector, ends up being a pretty good writer and writes the first book of the New Testament. What a twist! How did Jesus know who to pick? Well, here's the clue. This phrase, "Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray." Jesus was preparing to choose the people that he would walk with into the next season of his new public ministry and eventually take the reins of his ministry after that. This was a big decision. Jesus didn't rely on worldly wisdom to pick his team. Jesus didn't look for leadership qualities and select the best of the best. Jesus prayed, sought the Lord, heard his voice, and then picked his team. You're at a natural break in life right now. Around the holidays, people pause and slow down. And at the new year, people start to look ahead at what's next for the coming year. This time of year creates a perfect time of reflection for you. You can be different than you were last year. You don't need to repeat the same mistakes. You don't need to live the same patterns. And that's what New Year's resolutions are all about. Now, resolutions are polarizing. You either love them or you hate them. And most of us swing back and forth on that pendulum at least a few times in our lives. One thing, however, is abundantly clear. We all need pause points to reflect on life, make changes, and move forward in a new way. What a gift the Lord has given you right now. You have this opportunity. So how do we move forward into a new season? How do we know the direction to choose? Well, what did Jesus do when he needed direction for his next season? He prayed and received divine guidance. Today, I'd like to give you one quick tool to help you understand how the voice of the Lord might be speaking to you and how to recognize his voice when he does. We're going to learn his voice from this passage, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 32. It says, "Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. They urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" This verse takes place after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus encounters two of his disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. In order to unpack this verse, I want to narrow in on some key phrases and repeat them quickly. Jesus himself came up and walked along them, and they were kept from recognizing him. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning themselves. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Jesus comes to his disciples in this passage to speak to them. And as he walks up alongside them, the resurrected Jesus, the God of glory, the King of heaven, the Alpha and the Omega, blends into the background of everyday life. These men are walking on a path. Much of their lives would be spent walking from one place to another. As they are doing what they normally do, God is speaking, and he is speaking to them in such a normal way that they are kept from recognizing him. God is speaking to us in the ordinary. We often think if God's going to speak to me, his voice is going to be loud, or at least British. We think there will be something different about his voice that will distinguish him from the rest of life. But that certainly isn't true for this passage, and really isn't true of how he speaks in a great number of passages in the scriptures. God's voice is speaking to normal people while they're doing normal things, and his voice is often so normal that they might mistake his voice for something else. That's true for Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, God's voice woke him up, but it was so normal he thought it was Eli's voice. God's voice supernaturally is described as a still small voice in 1 Kings chapter 19. In fact, the Messiah is described as one who speaks like this in Isaiah 42 chapter 2. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. The voice of God will not compete with the other voices. If you want to hear the voice of God, you have to quiet your life to hear him. He refuses to shout. What if God's voice is speaking to you quietly within your heart, but your life is too noisy to hear it? There's a part of this Emmaus passage where it says Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. And think about it. He was going to keep walking to the next town as if he, the newly resurrected Jesus, had a meeting that he had to get to. The God of glory was with these believers, but they almost missed recognizing it. They did the right thing, though. They begged him to stay with them. Christ will go where he is wanted. Christ will reveal his voice to those who want to hear it. So he stays with them, and their eyes are opened, and now they know it's his voice. Now, I want you to catch a glimpse of the hindsight wisdom that they get when their eyes are open. They say, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked to us?" Jesus spoke and their hearts burned within them. The burning wasn't recognized initially as the voice of Jesus. The burning was just that, a burning. But the burning within them was a sign to them that distinguished the words of God from normal words. So every day, God is speaking to you. Is your life quiet enough to hear him? Are you desperate enough to want him? And do you recognize the burning within when he speaks to you? So I want to give you an exercise to do. It's called the prayer of examine. And I know it sounds very Catholic, but don't worry, it is. The prayer of examine was introduced to the world by a man named St. Ignatius. And this prayer has been a gift to the church for centuries. The prayer of examine involves taking a certain period of time that you reflect on to review, where was God speaking to me during that time? Mostly it's an end of the day prayer, but it's a great way at the end of a significant period of time to examine what God is saying. Let's do an examine for 2023. It's pretty simple. What you do is you go to a quiet place and pray and spend a moment reflecting on 2023. Now, before we begin, I need to introduce you to the idea that makes the prayer of examine so powerful for learning to hear God's voice. Ignatius had this idea that when you look back on your day or your week or your year, there will be moments in your life where you sense God's nearness. You sense that burning within you. And then moments where you felt a distance from him. Nearness might feel like a sense of his peace, his love, and his pleasure. And distance might feel like an absence of those things. He calls those moments of nearness consolation, and those moments of distance, desolation. His idea was that through these moments, the voice of God was speaking to us, and we must tune into those feelings and listen to how he might be directing us through those feelings. So here's step one. Step one is this: review your year with thanksgiving. So take a pause, look back on your year, and take a moment to just say thank you. Say thank you to the Lord for allowing him to give you another year of life. Say thank you to the Lord for all of the things and the blessings that he's given you, for the good times, maybe even the bad times. You might even want to do this right now. Take a moment, press the pause button, reflect on your year, and say thank you. Step two is invite God to help you see the year the way that he sees it. Just take a moment and ask God, God, give me your eyes, give me your heart. Help me to see what you saw. And maybe even ask God, God, where were the moments that you were with me? Were there moments where you were with me and I didn't even see it? Were there moments where you were fellowshipping with me and I didn't even recognize the burning that was within me? Ask God to give you his eyes. Press pause and take a moment to do this. And step three is this: review your feelings of God's absence and his presence. So when did you feel a sense of his nearness? When was there a burning within you? When did you feel a sense of joy and love? When did you feel distance from God? When was there a feeling like your life was being drawn away from him? What were those moments? I would encourage you to even right now, like, grab a journal, grab a pen. If you're in the car, maybe don't do that, but find a way to catalog this and write it down and say, God, when were you with me? When were you near? When was my heart burning? And then take a moment to write those things, those moments of his absence and his presence down. Go ahead and press pause and do this for a second. Step four is a personal response to that review. So as you're looking at this list and as you're seeing it in front of you, go through the moments where you felt the absence of God's presence. Those moments where there was that feeling, that sense that you had walked away from the Lord. And I want you to just maybe even take a moment where, you know, maybe it was you. Maybe you're the one that walked away and you did something. You sinned. You committed an act where you put a wedge between you and God. And take a moment to repent and say, God, I'm sorry for that. And as you do that, allow God to give you his grace. And what I love that this does is it gives you kind of that moment of closure with the Lord. I think oftentimes we have these outstanding debts with God, these feelings of shame that we have in our relationship with God, and we never go back and close those doors and accept the grace of God for those moments. Consider this your moment to close those doors and accept the grace of God for what happened in 2023. And I also want you to look back on that list and tell God thank you for the moments where you sensed his nearness. And take a moment of gratitude for this year. So go ahead and pause and have some moments of personal response to what you're reviewing on that list. Step number five is now kind of where the rubber meets the road. This is the moment where we say, okay, I'm listening to the voice of God. I'm starting to sense a little bit of his leading, and now I'm gonna allow this leading to guide me into the future. And so step number five is looking forward in contemplation. So as you're looking at this list, you're seeing the consolation, the moments of closeness and nearness of God, and you're seeing the desolations, the moments where you're far from God. And so now what I want you to do is I want you to journal how your feelings and your emotions, those things that you're sensing from the Lord, might give you a sense of God's leading for this year. So how might the moments of consolation actually be God leading you into this next year? So maybe that burning within you, that joy, that love that you sensed when you were doing that one thing where you wrote down that consolation, how might that burning within you, how might God be leading you through that? What is God saying through that moment? Is he saying, hey, I want you to do more of this? Is maybe he's saying, is there something that he wants to express to you through that burning that you feel within? Maybe there's a word or a feeling that he's wanting to share with you about his love for you through that moment. There's something he wants to express, he wants to say. What might that thing be? Write it down and take that as guidance from the Lord. And at the same time, what I want you to do is I want you to look at the moments of distance, those moments of desolation, and I want you to ask God, how might you be leading me in this year through those moments of absence? Are there certain things he's wanting you to avoid? Is there maybe certain things that he's telling you about the way that he's created you, about things that he doesn't want you to do and things that he doesn't want you to engage in as you're moving into the future? So take a moment to pray and ask God, God, which ways are you leading me? And then finally, as you close out that time, pray for the grace of God to grow this year in his guidance. So that's step 5. And what you might want to do is take a moment right now to press pause and actually do that. So Lord, today I pray for my friends. God, I pray that wherever they're at, God, that you would find them. And I pray that they would leave this day with a deep sense that you, the one that created them, that you, their Father, that you, the God that created all things, would want to speak to them personally. God, I pray that they would know and have assurance that you want to lead them and guide them in their everyday life. God, that you want to speak to them and you want to know them. So Lord, today I pray for my friends. God, that you would stir up an anticipation for what you're going to say. God, I pray for my friends today that you would stir up a desire to hear your voice. And God, today I pray that through the prayer of examine, God, that we could coordinate a meeting between you and us where we could hear your voice and we could get your guidance for this year. I pray, God, today that what happens as a result of this prayer of examine, God, that what happens as a result of us listening for your voice, that it would change the way that we move into 2024. God, guide us today. Help us to know what you're saying and how you're leading. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.